It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 93 deaths are now confirmed as a result of last week's fires on Maui, and authorities warn that number will increase as cadaver dogs continue to search the area. ABC's Melissa Adan has the latest from Maui.
Cadaver-sniffing dogs searching the rubble in the historic town of Lahaina as crews look for victims or any survivors of the fierce wildfires that struck on Tuesday. FEMA workers also on the ground with Hawaii Governor Josh Green on Saturday, getting a close look at what is left. Not much. The wildfires are now Hawaii's deadliest natural disaster in the state's history.
District Attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, has asked two witnesses to appear this week before the grand jury that's deciding whether criminal charges should be brought against anyone over the actions taken after the 2020 election. That could mean a fourth indictment for former President Trump, who's denied doing anything wrong. He was at the Iowa State Fair Saturday, along with other Republican presidential hopefuls. This is ABC News. Authorities in the Pittsburgh suburb of Plum say they don't know what caused a house explosion that destroyed three homes and killed at least four people. One person still unaccounted for. Italy celebrating the return of 266 antiquities that were looted and sold to museums and private collectors in the U.S.
Some of the stolen artifacts were handed over to Italian police this week at the offices of the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg. It says they included a vase from 335 B.C., seized from a private collection in New York. The DA's office says the vase was laundered through Sotheby's London auction house. Two tile paintings from 440 B.C. were looted in the 1980s, says Bragg's office. And a British antiquities dealer sold them to New York collectors. 65 objects were offered by a collector to Houston's Manil collection, but were declined. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin played for the first time since going into cardiac arrest on January 2nd. He made three tackles in a preseason game. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Many of the most recent crimes former President Donald Trump is accused of committing allegedly happened in Wisconsin or with the help of people from here. New Mexico is another battleground state caught up in the alleged fake elector scheme. Roz Brown reports.
New Mexico is one of seven battleground states where former President Donald Trump and his Republican allies are accused of trying to persuade state officials to illegally swing the last election in his favor. David Becker with the Center for Election Innovation and Research says as the next contest approaches, election workers still face fallout from 3 years ago.
They are still suffering. They are still being harassed. They are still being attacked. That's the state we're in now, in early August, 15 months before a presidential election.
New Mexico's five fake electors have yet to be charged with any crimes related to their interference. The indictment appears to suggest that the effort in New Mexico was not as involved as those in other states, such as Arizona, Georgia, or Wisconsin, where electors were asked to sign certificates, falsely stating that Trump, not Democrat Joe Biden, had won their states. Becker knows Americans are eager for an outcome in the court cases stemming from 2020, but hopes both Republicans and Democrats will eventually be on the same page.
That we as Americans can say, regardless of who engaged in these activities, if they are proven to be true beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law, if those are true, can't we all as Americans agree that this has gone too far, that this should never happen again?
Becker, whose organization provides pro bono legal counsel to election officials, says he's already gotten requests from nearly half the states this year. This is Roz Brown. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Welcome back, everybody who's been out there. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Good. I mean, we're about to be back into a school year real soon in a lot of places. So kids are getting back to classrooms and teachers into classrooms and a lot of the states where our listeners are. And then the other states that comes at the end of the month. So,
but I spent yesterday out at Dublin City Schools right outside of Columbus, massive public school system. Their great professional development day, met some great teachers out there. So yeah, we're in the back to school season. Anybody who's not sure of that, if you're watching television, you can also see that Target and everybody's selling. Even now, what was it? Amazon Prime is.
And that started like 2 months ago.
I know, my God.
I feel like the kids were still in school and the back to school section had already been up at Target. So don't get me about that.
Well, Johnny, we have a great return guest tonight. Yeah. And, we've got some news to share. Kentucky Education Commissioner, repeat Busting Pencils, alumni, Jason Glass. Jason Glass, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Hey guys, hey Tim, hey Johnny, it's great to see you both of you. I just want to first say the two of you with a name like Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci, I mean, you guys sound like you should be in Journey or something. So I mean, those are awesome names, guys.
Oh, damn, I didn't know. I don't know that I've ever heard that. Thank you, Jason. Yeah, it runs off. Okay, though, Jason, Kentucky Commissioner Education, not much longer, though.
A couple months.
So, okay. I mean, and that's why we got you on. We got you back on the show. We've had you on to talk about the vacuum of leadership within K-12. We've had you to, come in and do that special episode when the really bad tornadoes hit in Kentucky. Yeah. In fact, Jason, you and I got you back on the Busted Pencils podcast before the radio show when you were still in Douglas County, Colorado.
Yeah, I was in Jefferson County.
Jefferson County. And so, you've been doing this. We appreciate it. But, trolling social media. And it came around. It was like, Kentucky Commissioner Jason Glass is leaving his position. I was like, wait a minute, what? And I click on it. And yes, you are leaving your position. But you're also making a statement. And, that's what we want to talk about tonight is the statement that you're making. We absolutely want to, talk about where you're going. But Jason Glass, you were superintendent, we said, Jefferson County, Colorado. You've been the commissioner of education in the state of Kentucky for 3 years. And in a few months, you're about to start on a new journey. But you're not leaving necessarily? Tell us about what's happening. I mean, the great things. Why are you walking away at this point in time?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with both of you. And let me first start by saying that getting to come to Kentucky and be the commissioner has been a fantastic experience. So I've just got a heart full of gratitude for the 3 years that I had. And honestly, you shouldn't take one of these jobs without thinking something like this can happen. If you look around the country, it's how most of them end. So you'd be a fool not to expect, you know, something like this to come up. And especially with the things that the legislature in Kentucky was doing to and around public education and the stands that I needed to take in order to protect public education really put us at odds. And so it was sort of an unavoidable collision course. And, you know, I did my best to work with them. But as the culture wars just continued to escalate, it became increasingly more difficult. That amplified some when we had the whole critical race theory hysteria from a couple of years ago, and all of the drama around that. And on top of the legislature of Kentucky continuing to try and sort of weaken public education with voucher schemes and unconstitutional, at least in the state of Kentucky, charter school structures. And so they keep losing in the courts on these things. Or in the critical race theory world, they passed a law that really doesn't do anything. So that was probably as good as it would get on that. But what really brought things to a head was the as it moved into the anti-LGBTQI stuff, and specifically the focus on anti-trans students in Kentucky, one of our gubernatorial candidates on the GOP side hired the same marketing firm that Yonkin had used in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so they immediately began open records requesting and looking through everything they could on us. Of course, you know, there's nothing there on me because I expect to get open records requested on a regular basis. So that really wasn't helpful, but it really didn't matter. They were going to invent a boogeyman and a problem, and they have. And so they have made attacks on the Department of Education, on our state board, on me directly, they passed, but and all of that, you know, we can withstand, and sure. that's part of the deal. So, but what really made things unworkable was, well, it's really two steps. One, they passed a law called Senate Bill 150 here in Kentucky that I would say is among the worst, if not the worst, anti-LGBTQI law in the country. It is shameful fascist policy. So I hope that it gets undone for its constitutional breaches and its conflicts with federal law, but all that will get sorted out as time goes on. So they passed that, and I was outspoken and opposed to it the entire time that was being considered. And then they also simultaneously passed a law to make myself upon a contract renewal and any future commissioners of education subject to confirmation by the state Senate, of course, which now has a supermajority of Republicans. And so those two steps together really clarified for me, I'm either going to have to toe the line and really be a toady for the GOP if I want to keep this job, and I'm going to have to execute a law that I think is shameful, dangerous, and unconstitutional. And so the combination of those two things really led me to a place of it's time for me to move on and look elsewhere. So that's what I've done. It's been a lot of conversations with our family about next steps, but I want to circle back to where I started, and that is when you take one of these jobs, you know something like this can happen. So we expected it from the day we arrived here, and I'm grateful. I grew up in Kentucky. This is my home state, so I have loved it.
Well, and you've done great work. You said you've been there, and you know, people are saying, In fact, I was going to frame this question as to, you know, Jason, all of these things you're talking about, all of these attacks we've seen it, right? Critical race theory, LGBTQ, not Kentucky, not just, you know, here in Ohio and in Florida, what is it, 40 or 30 some states have anti-LGBTQ laws that directly affect public schools, as you were talking about this too. Then you throw in vouchers and charters and the onslaught, they would say, but Jason, you knew you were getting into this. We want you to stay and keep fighting. What you've said, though, here is that they weren't going to let you fight, though, is the way I hear this, with the confirmation of the Senate being required and the fact that they're going to be there. And or if you wanted to get confirmed, then you would have to enforce draconian, discriminatory, even let's use the word, you said it, fascist tendency types of laws on other human beings. And it's like, we didn't do this when we got into public schooling. That's not who we are.
Right, right. Well, you know, it comes back to some of those same, trials and arguments after World War II about things that people that were in Nazi Germany carried out policies that they said they were just doing their job and ultimately were found guilty and some executed for that behavior. And I hope that I'm overreacting by feeling like we're sort of on the same path. I hope that I'm overreacting, but just, you know, I'm old social studies teacher, a history buff, and I've seen this stuff come and go and studied it. And I want to be on the right side of this in the long run. And that means that I can't stay in this role.
Johnny, there it is. Here we are, three social studies teachers. Yeah, that's it. But Johnny, when he's like, we've looking at it, because I know somebody was automatically, when Jason said, well, you know, World War II, Nazi Germany, oh my God, how dare he's going to compare this moment with Nazi Germany? And you didn't, you said, but as a scholar of history, of teaching this, it's like, we hope we're not going in that direction. But boy, it feels really icky in the spot where you're going. And icky is probably even, I think, downplaying it. Johnny, thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think Jason, thank you for all the work you've done and you'll continue to do, and for being a guest on the show and for sharing this with our listeners, because we do work with and talk all the time with superintendents, school principals, you know, school board members, and then, of course, just folks in the community, families and teachers and everyone thinking about education. And it often comes up, you know, a great school leader or a great, you know, a superintendent that takes a stand can make a difference. But what I want our listeners to know is, like, is Jason wants to be on the right side of history and he's making these choices and he's sharing this with us. I mean, he's a dude who's known for working proverbially across the aisle, like for really seeing how we can all work together. So I know when we're listening, we're hearing what we're used to is a pretty radical stance. But this is kind of what Jason shared. I want to highlight, this is common. This is more commonplace than it ought to be, that folks, we have a history of getting the job done, of coming together, whatever our party affiliations are, whatever our politics are, we come together around human rights and around education, democracy, and preparing children for the world we want them to be in, right? And so I want to highlight this really, for Jason to talk about this, for our listeners to know, like, there are hot takes all over the place that are either really far right or really far left or kind of wherever they land on the spectrum. But Jason gets the job done, and he's saying it's become almost impossible for that job to happen. And so when we come back.
Yeah, when we come back, exactly. And L.A. Tom, we know you're on the line. Jason Glass, Commissioner of Education, Kentucky. Enough's enough. We're moving on. L.A. Tom, when we get back, more with Jason Glass. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
The man. Peggy Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, our bumper music, Rise Against, special song out there, kind of reflecting the mood. Our guest is the education commissioner from Kentucky, Jason Glass. We were talking about moving on. We're going to come back to Johnny setting up and going, is the job to the point where it's like, we can't do this anymore. However, we got a phone call. LA Tom, busted pencils. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, guys. Great to hear from you. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that collectively. I just want to say my hat's off to this guy. What a great human being. I think what's happening, unfortunately, in the education system is that the Republicans have really torn down the unions to the point where, unfortunately, I know in Wisconsin, it's become very much not like it used to be where, you know, a person would pay their dues and then the union would actually really stand up for the teacher. I had a situation with my sister that was in Wisconsin teaching, and the union really did not come to her defense after, you know, 30 years of teaching. And it's just kind of too bad. And I think that's part of Act 10. I think that's part of the way. And also, it seems like anybody that actually speaks out a little bit, like this person here or a person that would be a leader in the school, they want to shut them down and shut them up. So what they do is they get rid of them. And, you know, I just, like I said, this guy is incredible because he's standing up just like the teacher from Waukesha that, you know, the whole Rainbow Land song, which is nothing more than we are, the world for anyone that has not listened to it. But basically, I just see that with education, you know, when you're a person that stands up for something, for some reason in this day and age, it's like you're the one that's getting made the example of, so everybody else stays in place and they're not rocking the boat too much, so to speak.
Well, Tom, so, I was thinking like about this. I want to go off of what you said, and Jason kind of feed onto this. So, because Jason, you made mention, you know, the critical race theory, the attack on history, the attack on truth, right? Those weren't necessarily the things that pushed it over. And we're looking at here the LGBTQ. Is it something there where it was like, you said this, but you were going to actively have to participate then in carrying out orders to persecute LGBTQI students and their families?
Yeah, the governance structure in Kentucky up to this point has been set up where the commissioner really acts as an independent agent, independent of the legislature, independent of the governor. I work for the state board, who is nominated by the governor and then confirmed by the Senate. So there's a balance there. Mm-hmm. The structure here was intended to create an education commissioner who's a professional, who advocates what's in the best interest of students. Above the politics. Now, that's the theory. Of course, there are politics that we sure. all engage in, but that's been the governance structure in Kentucky for almost 40 years now, or since 1990, 30 years. So this is really a seismic shift, what they've done with this requirement around confirmation, because it injects a partisan nature into the selection of future commissioners and the decisions that they make. So, I mean, up to this point, I was comfortable pushing back where I needed to and speaking what I felt through the lens of what I felt was in the best interest of our schools, our educators, and our students. But a future commissioner will not be able to do that unless they are willing to run the risk of not being confirmed in the future, either on appointment or on reappointment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, John, and Tom, L.A. Tom, always thank you for the phone call. We always appreciate it. Keep it out there. And if you want to call 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jason, though, Johnny, you were setting Jason going, ask him that question again. You say it better than you, because it was your question, not mine.
Well, I mean, we were just getting to the point when we went to the break, and thank you, Tom, for calling. It's always great to hear from you.
And we're coming up on the other break already, too.
So I won't take too long, but I mean, we get to this point where, you know, where Jason said, like, he just explained how you get to enough is enough. Like, what does it mean to be in that position where you're advocating, you know, for what you and with all your professional experience know is best for, you know, schools, communities, children, and families. And so, like, just understanding for our school leaders out there, like, what can they do? What are we coming up against?
Yeah, that is going to be a really difficult question going forward. I mean, I think we've all got to do the calculus of what we can go along with and what we can't. Tim Snyder's book on tyranny has been really instructive to me here. This is a short little read, only about 100 plus pages, but it's really got some good lessons. And so some of them that apply to this situation are things like don't obey in advance. So don't cave in and self-censor yourself because you think it will appease the group that's in power. That never has worked. Another one is to remember our professional ethics. So as educators, we have professional ethics that we need to think about, and we're increasingly being asked to do things that are against those professional ethics. So you need to make sure that you're talking to somebody that has your interest at heart. Tom talked about making sure that you're supported by your union or an attorney who's got your interest at heart. So those are a couple of the things that we need to be paying attention to. And we've all got to be as brave as we can. I'm able to do that because I planned for this moment to come. Our family was prepared. A lot of people have got to think through what steps they need to take to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Well, so it's the preparation, recognizing this, but the ethics, and that's where I know we're coming up on the next break here. I want to hit that, though, when we come back for more. We are talking to the Education Commissioner of Kentucky, Jason Glass. Enough is enough. We're not going to do this work. We're not going to do harm. I think that's the issue here is that the mandate to do harm. Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. More when we get back after the break.
From broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 93 deaths are now confirmed as a result of last week's fires on Maui, and authorities warn that number will increase as cadaver dogs continue to search the area. ABC's Melissa Adan has the latest from Maui.
Cadaver-sniffing dogs searching the rubble in the historic town of Lahaina as crews look for victims or any survivors of the fierce wildfires that struck on Tuesday. FEMA workers also on the ground with Hawaii Governor Josh Green on Saturday, getting a close look at what is left. Not much. The wildfires are now Hawaii's deadliest natural disaster in the state's history.
District Attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, has asked two witnesses to appear this week before the grand jury that's deciding whether criminal charges should be brought against anyone over the actions taken after the 2020 election. That could mean a fourth indictment for former President Trump, who's denied doing anything wrong. He was at the Iowa State Fair Saturday along with other Republican presidential hopefuls. This is ABC News.
This could be the start of a break-in.
Stop. This is Simply Safe.
Or the end of one.
Police are on their way.
Introducing the latest innovation in home security. 24/7 live guard protection. Only from Simply Safe. Now, agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/radio. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? Great state of Wisconsin.
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one. They're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
And the people in the houses went to the
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. You know you love our bumper music. Educated educators talking education. Oh, we love it there. Our guest tonight, Kentucky Education Commissioner Jason Glass. A few more months, we're going to get to where he's headed, though. But we were, you know, talking about the point in saying, I'm not going to, you know, just not going to enforce particularly these rules, laws, whatever you want to call them. They're inhumane. And that's what I was saying, thinking about this. And Johnny got to the point where, and asking you, Jason, you know, when is enough, now is enough is enough. And how, what is the advice, though, for a leader out there? And you gave us a nice, you know, looking at the book on leadership, but you hit a point right before the break about ethics. And that made me think about this and saying, so we do have a code of ethics as professional educators working in the public realm, working for public educators. If, does that then guide us to make decisions to say, no, I will not do that then? And is that the situation you found yourself in where it was like, the reason why I have to go is because I'm not going to be allowed to say, no, I can't do that.
Right. Yeah. No, this is a really difficult space and really what led to my decision to move on. I have a responsibility as commissioner to execute the laws in the state. So that's my job is to carry them out. And in this case, I've got really three pressures against that are working against my ability to fully and faithfully execute discharge the roles of this job. One is that I feel that there are provisions in the law that the legislature passed that are unconstitutional, that run counter to the federal constitution. I took an oath to uphold the constitution. And mm-hmm. so that's an ethical problem for me. A second is that I feel that the law puts students at risk. Mm-hmm. We know that this is a marginalized at-risk group anyway, and this law is going further and putting those students at risk. And that leads to the third issue, which is that it creates a conflict with my code of ethics as an educator, to not do things that are harmful to children or perhaps harmful to children. So I just had to balance those things with the feelings that this is unconstitutional, this may cause harm to children, and that it violates what in my profession opinion is my professional ethics, a code of ethics, and balance that against my responsibility to execute the law. And I just found it impossible to do both of those things at once. And so that led to me to it's time for me to move on and find something else.
And we're glad you are moving on and you found something else, but I want to stay a little bit here and go, but this, are they winning though by you leaving, Jason? I mean, is, you know, I start worrying about this, and you know, the pre-interview we talked about this, and in fact, you know, might as well throw it out now. Busted Pencils, the extended podcast, which will be out in a few days. Jason, you're going to join us again tomorrow for a longer talk when we talk about this democracy, public education, and how this fits. But I just want to, you know, I worry about me, you, Johnny, all of us in these positions when our ethics stop us from doing the job. Because the job has become unethical, but at the root of public education, our commitment to the public and democracy, when do we start to worry and go, okay, but I can't walk away at this point, or if I do walk away, I'm going to walk away here, and we'll talk about this because I think this is what you're going to do, but I can still do good work over here. I'm just worried about at some point, though, the job is becoming so undemocratic that we are at an ethical dilemma where we have to walk away. And isn't that the point of what they're doing?
Yeah, well, I think we probably have GOP leaders in the state, and they were celebrated when I announced my resignation. They were glad to have me gone because I really have been opposed to a lot of the things that they've been trying to do and have been outspoken about that. So, and, you know, in fairness, I've also tried to work with them where we could. We've done good work around reading legislation in the state. We've done good work around career technical education. So, you know, there were some things that we did and worked together on. But I think this is an ethical and moral question. question that every person is going to have to wrestle with if they're in this situation and decide what's the best thing for them. I'm sure, you know, there may be all sorts of pundits and critics on all sides that are weighing whether or not this was the right decision. And they're welcome to have their opinion. It was the right decision for me, and it was the right decision for our family, because I really felt like I couldn't bridge the charge of the job, which is to execute the law, and to then go forward and execute a law that I felt was unconstitutional and dangerous. So I couldn't bridge the two. And thinking ahead over the next couple of years, that I have at that point, when this law was passed, I had about a year and a half left on my contract. Am I going to spend that next year and a half with it pouring my energy into this issue, or we've only got so much energy, time, space, life in us. And so what do we want to spend that doing? I really wanted to spend it doing something positive, and this wasn't it. So that was the rationale that I used to get to this place. But I think someone else may make another calculation and arrive at themselves. I'm not passing judgment on anybody, but I think this was the right decision for us.
No, I think so. I mean, it sounds like it just, you know, again, I'm just pushing because I worry because there are days too. I think all of it, and Johnny, we've talked about this where we go, you know, they're creating such a kind of a chaotic sense of we can't do the good work, and that pushes all of us who are in some form of an advocate for public schools. And I worry about that bigger space. And I know Johnny talks a lot about this on the show. Johnny, you know, public education and democracy. You know, and I didn't know if you wanted to kind of jump on that a little bit, Johnny. You know, while we still have Jason, and we are going to get to where Jason's headed.
But yeah, I mean, it comes back around to that. Like, this is we still have a democracy. It's you know, it's in danger in a lot of places, and so, you know, I think Jason's shared with our listeners too, like there's some real things all leaders have to, especially, you know, in these political positions, have to go into it knowing like there are real important things to be, you know, to be certain are going to come our way, and we're prepared for them. And I think Jason shared, you responsibly go into leadership with a plan at this particular moment, that at some point in your career, you never know how soon or how far out, you have to advocate for the well-being of your community, for the children in that community, and for all those children. And that, unfortunately, for too many leaders right now, means, you know, precarious work. And that's just part of being, you know, doing democracy. So, yeah. Speak to that, man. We love that.
Well, I mean, one of the things that you see with these kinds of movements is an intentional effort to sort of corrupt institutions into carrying out very partisan ideological agendas. And so you can look at the Florida Department of Education, and you see a great example of that. And so I'm sure in Kentucky, there are members of our legislature here that would love to transform our Department of Education into that. And then you have an institution that is weaponized against public schools, against teachers, and against students. And so you really get a sense of what we have to lose. So I think in any institution is going to have to carry out and execute the laws of whatever state or it's a national institution, federal law. That's part of it. But for me, where it became a problem when I'm being asked to carry out things that I think are dangerous and that violate the Constitution, it was just a line that I couldn't get there on.
It's there. Wait a minute. L.A. Tom's back on the line. My goodness, he wants to get back on there. L.A. Tom, what's going on? You're calling us back. Tom, what's up?
Yeah, guys, I just wanted to tell you there's a movie out there on Netflix right now. It's called El Dorado, Everything the Nazis Hate. And I think you guys would find it very, very interesting. You know, of course, along with money and politics, there's Dope Sick as well. But El Dorado basically shows exactly what you guys are kind of talking about, and how the, you know, fascism came in quite quietly. And it's a great documentary. It's only about an hour and a half, and I think you guys would enjoy it.
Well, Tom, thanks for that recommendation. And I see Anya, our producer, in there. She's really nodding her head. Anya, go ahead.
I'll jump in just as the resident film major, film school grad. Yeah, it's really good, guys. You should take a chance to watch it if you have some time. It is a great, it's exactly what you're talking about. Tom out in L.A., he has clearly great taste in film being so close to L.A., so.
L.A., Tom, thanks again. Thanks for calling us back and recognizing that and giving us that recommendation. Okay, so, Jason, we're there. You are going on, though, to do good work. Where are you headed? What's next for Jason Glass?
Yeah, well, I'm excited about this next chapter. And again, back where I started, I'm grateful for these 3 years in Kentucky. It's been wonderful. I loved every minute of it, even the hard times. So I appreciate the State Board of Education giving me the chance to do this work in the state. I'm going to be the Associate Vice President of Teaching and Learning at Western Michigan University. So we'll be headed up to Kalamazoo. And that job is exciting because it's all about improving the experience of students at the university. So supporting professors in their teaching and changing the experiences of students to make them more meaningful, rich, vibrant, and connected to the work they're going to have to do when they get out of school. So I'm excited about continuing that deeper learning work that we've been so successful at moving forward in Kentucky and taking that to higher education. The job also covers all of the extension programs that the university has, so their dual credit programs and their extension campuses, so supporting that. And then there's a couple of entrepreneurial aspects. They have a strategic planning team and a marketing team. So I'm excited to get up there and get to work. It's a great school, has a rich tradition of being a leader in education and service to the state of Michigan and that whole region, really. So I'm excited to get to work. I've always wanted to have some experience working in higher education. So this is another wonderful fulfillment in a professional journey for me.
Western Michigan University, and let's be honest, you know, what a great provost you guys have, or you're going to have up there. And, you know, we'll say Julian Vasquez Heleg used to be the dean at the University of Kentucky. In fact, we've had Jason and Julian on together. Jason, Julian involved in this move a little bit?
Yeah, no, Julian reached out as soon as all this started happening. He'd already transitioned on to Western Michigan, and he was paying close attention to what was happening in Kentucky. So reached out to me with this concept, and I was really skeptical at first. I was like, Julian, I don't know about this. You know, I don't have any higher ed experience. I don't know how this is going to work. And he just really kept at it and kept selling it. So all credit to Julian for recruiting me there. I'm excited to work. I'll be working as part of Julian's team. He's a tremendous leader and innovator. He shakes things up and breaks the mold. And so I'm excited to work with a leader like that. Julie and I have worked together very well and closely here in Kentucky. He did great work at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
I know he's carrying that forward at Western Michigan. So I'm excited to work for him.
I mean, Julie, talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion advocate right there, professional Julian Vasquez Heleg. So I know, Jason, the work you're going to be doing there in Western Michigan. And hey, our own Johnny Lupinacci, alumni Western Michigan, right, Johnny?
Well, I didn't graduate, so I'm not okay. Actually, but I attended school there. Yeah,
okay. he's a Bronco for life, I think.
Yeah, you know, I consider it. I have no ill feelings either direction. I did well there; they did well by me. Just wasn't a great fit, and I ended up getting my teaching certificate at Eastern Michigan. You know, a rival on the other side of the state, but had great experience over there, and just love all the Kalamazoo folks. And all the great things happening at Western. Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, Jason Glass, we appreciate your time. And check it out probably Friday or Monday if you want to hear all about more of this, and particularly the democracy and our job as professional educators, ethics. Jason Glass will be on the Busted Pencils Extended Pod. Jason, good luck. Talk to you tomorrow soon. And we appreciate your time. Always love having you, Jason Glass. Thanks for busting pencils with us. More Tim and Johnny will come back. We'll break it down. Busted Pencils back after the break.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
We are the nowhere generation. We are the kids that no one wants. We are a credible threat to the rules you set across the being learned. We are not the names that we've been given. We speak a language you don't know. We are the nowhere generation. The nowhere generation.
We are back. Busted pencils. Leaded education talk. I guess we kind of are your nowhere generation too. Johnny Lupinacci, great first part of the show. Jason Glass, great friend of the show. Commissioner in the state of Kentucky, Commissioner of Education, about moving on to Western Michigan in the future. But, you know, he's a leader, has always advocated, and in fact, you know, has been, you know, an outspoken public education guardian, leader, the person out there. And Johnny, I wanted to get him on the show tonight so that, you know, we could talk about this and kind of put this forward and say, though, is it, are you worried, though, and this is, you know, me and you, are you worried that the job, as Jason said, that our job responsibilities are being so corrupted to the point that the intentionality of making the job unethical to a person like you, to a person like me, to a person like Jason, to a public school advocate. Hey, you know what? You know how we get rid of these people? Let's require them on the job to do things that go up against their ethical code. And I sit in and go, that's the intention right here. The intention here is to create the inability for me to stay in a role because I don't have the ethical code anymore. It's now because the job has become unethical. I just wonder, you know, like, what are we going to do about this, my friend?
You know, Tim, I think this is a good point of discussion. And for me, I like to break it into levels because no matter where you're at in the system, you have to ask yourself this question day in and day out. Like, am I doing the work that I want to be doing? Am I causing harm, or am I, you know, complacent or an actor in, you know, Jason brought it up, in tyranny or in, you know, bringing unjust suffering to other people. And that's just getting into the day in and day out. And I think when you get to a level, and I'm concerned about this, is what I'm getting to, is because as a teacher, we had to make this decision often, and teachers out there listening will resonate that you can't always do the job that you want to be doing, and you're on the regular making a decision on how are you going to do, you know, the best you can for all the children in that classroom or in your community or, you know, in your school. And it doesn't come without some sacrifice and some real gray areas. And there isn't a hard, fast rule, but I feel like as a teacher, I had enough distance mm-hmm. from punishment to do good teaching. And that was something that I know oftentimes that peers were not able to have. You know, I've taught alongside folks who didn't have that distance. And it was, for me, always a school principal who was very on the forefront of saying, we are going to do good teaching. Let's get it done. And they took the heat oftentimes. And they often couldn't stay being principal because, you know, there's consequences to when you don't maybe do the accountability as legislation wants you to, and that's because it's unjust, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, leadership, different levels of it, don't have that ability to, like, stay in place, be effective, often as long as I think frontline teachers do. Now, that's not me saying that teachers don't also end up getting to the point where ethically they're not really teaching what they want to or how they want to, or they're being forced or mandated to do harm. Mm-hmm. And most of us, when forced and mandated to do harm, choose not to if we can, right? Mm-hmm. And I add that if we can bit because there are people who, like I said, the labor becomes precarious and that is dangerous for families and for community. And so you can't just walk away from a job some days.
Right, right, right.
But no. I think there's a certain stand that our leaders have to take and share. And why I'm glad Jason came on, why I'm glad we'll be able to have him on the extended podcast is because I think if leaders don't take a stand, mm-hmm. then we don't have these stories. We don't have these tools to say enough is enough and to do differently. And I think, you know, there's a fine line. Sometimes people have to go for change to happen. As much as I know and I need people to stay in their positions, it's like, man, your posts, we need things to change and they're not going to change if we all leave, right? And so there is a like moment-to-moment kind of decision-making and organizing that I think is incredibly important right now in education, is that we get on the same page on how we are going to support children in Kentucky, right? And Jason's still going to be able to be effectively doing that work at a distance. But you know, and maybe even have a larger impact in sharing that story and helping future teachers and leaders in our community know that when it comes down to it, we're going to always do right by all children and moving forward into the kind of communities we want them to be citizens in.
Yeah.
And it's going to mean standing up to tyranny. So.
Well, I mean, you stand up to tyranny, and that's what I said. We want this out there, and we want the show, you know, for people that are listening, my neighbor particularly. It's like, you know, you need to hear this. And Anya, you're giving me two, and I'm just going to put out there 2 minutes to music or 2 minutes to show just to make sure.
2 minutes of show, 1 minute till music.
One music, perfect. Oh. Just wanted to make sure I was right where I'm supposed to be. Yeah, no, just jamming it out. But it's yeah, here we are, and we get, you know, in this moment, and even lost my train of thought when I did that. So, but, you know, how do we then create, though, what we're doing with the show here? We want more people to listen because we do, though, at some point have to make a stand, you know, because harm is the result then of these policies. And so when we realize that, we are not going to be in the business of doing harm. So we also have to find leaders like Jason. We have to bring them together in a show and podcast and come together to recognize we cannot allow the job to become immoral and doing harm. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Check out the extended podcast when we get back. Not when we get back, later.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
AB